Welcome to another episode of Farmers Inside Track, officially the world's best podcast for 2024, as announced by OneIFRA, the global press organization. I'm your host, Duncan Masua, and in this episode, we're taking a deep dive into the impact of fair trade certification on South Africa's small-scale and new era farmers. We're joined by Sandra Ndlovu, the Regional Communication Officer for Southern Africa at Fair Trade Africa. Sandra spoke with Food for Mzansi co-founder Ivor Price at the recent 17th Fair Trade Cities and Towns International Conference, hosted by Drakenstein Municipality. She'll unpack how fair trade certification opens up new market opportunities, boosts financial growth, and enhances sustainability for local farmers. Let's jump right in.
So, Sandy, I was quite inspired by your efforts to kind of bring the small-scale farmer agenda to fair trade. And I'm wondering what fair trade certification would mean for small-scale farmers, new era farmers, some might be newly commercializing in South Africa, particularly in terms of market access and financial benefits. What would it mean for them?
I'm going to address it in a few ways. The one thing is that fair trade certification for anybody, there is so much value in that, and especially for our small-scale farmers and our underdeveloped farmer communities, because what we do is beyond just looking at getting market access, etc., we also look at development of the small producer organization, because a lot of the time it is family-run and family-owned, and they don't have systems in place in order to get to the next level. And so what we do is we assist them and we give training and we help them. So we've got programs officers, we call them, on the ground on a daily basis who then work with these producers. However, caveat is we are not likely to certify you if we don't have standards yet for your product. Because if there is nothing to monitor you against, then how do we make sure that you are sustainable, that you are taking care of the environment, that you are... We need to have those standards in place. If we do not, and it's a product that's in demand, we will walk that journey with you in order to, but that takes a while. It's not just an overnight thing that happens. So that's the caveat. With fair trade, the two-word fair trade, it's very different to Fair Trade Africa. So with Fair Trade Africa, we focus on agriculture with a fair trade movement, and the way that the Drakenstein Municipality is now a fair trade town, it crosses barriers. So it is agriculture, but it's also arts and culture. It is tourism. It is everything. And so that's where there's a gap then for the small scale producer to come in and take those small steps towards becoming sustainable. And then from there on move towards the certification. And so I love that the Drakenstein Municipality has become a fair trade town, because I'm hoping that it will become the blueprint and a challenge for other municipalities, other cities as well going forward.
What would then be the main barriers to preventing these farmers from obtaining fair trade certification in South Africa?
The first thing would be, do we have standards for their products? That would be the one thing. The other thing is cost. In all honesty, it is not so cheap for small-scale producers to get certified, which is something that we are looking at within fair trade, because we are passionate about getting the small-scale farmer in the sustainability or the fair trade realm as well. But we need to look at how do we make it accessible for them. At the moment, financially, it is a challenge, and we need to acknowledge that. That is the biggest barrier. The other barrier is, unfortunately, in South Africa, in Africa as a whole, but in South Africa specifically, fair trade isn't that well known yet. We don't have a wide footprint. And so this is something that we are working on, trying to create awareness by doing training, but also we are hoping that as they see the farms or the businesses that are fair trade certified, that they would see the difference and want some of that, because there are so many benefits to being fair trade certified. In the rest of Africa, we've got a lot of small scale farmers who are fair trade certified. It's only in South Africa where the hired labor and the commercial farms are a lot more. So we need to find ways to make them see the value of getting fair trade certified.
And South Africa, I believe, is only now moving to the point where the incredible contribution of non-commercial farmers are being recognized. Because of our history, all the focus has been on commercial farmers.
Correct. And that is a shame, because commercial farms can be loud, and it's easy to see the loud one and to recognize the loud one. When it comes to the small producers, because they are so quiet and that they affect and feed communities, which we don't always realize. And this is where sustainability is. So a rural farmer in Timbuktu would be sitting there doing subsistence farming, for example, where his community come to buy from him. There is a market there. There's an economy there that we are overlooking as a country, and we need to start seeing that there is value in what they do, probably more so because the commercial farmers, they export most of their stuff. And then with our small producers, it is for us. We enjoy the fruits of their labor. And so we really need to give them the recognition that they deserve.
Over the last few days, I realized that the principles of fair trade, as in the two words, it's also about consciousness on sustainability, being kind to people and planet. What can we do to encourage that kind of consciousness about fair trade amongst our farmers?
You know what the beautiful thing is about fair trade in South Africa is everybody who has subscribed to fair trade, it has been by choice. Because as opposed to Europe, we don't have laws about fair trade principles and values and sustainability and all of those. In Europe, they have it. And so they are almost forced to introduce it into their farming practices and whatever not. We are not forced in South Africa, but we've got a lot of producers who subscribe to those values and principles. And so we need to create more awareness. But awareness is not enough. We need to convert them to action, becoming sustainable. There are a lot of ways to do it. One of the things that we do as well is we have exchange programs, for lack of a different word. So if a small-scale farmer wanted to get into that space, we can connect them with a commercial farmer and say, learn from them, see what they are doing, and how can you necessarily just take it and plant it in what you are doing, but adapt it and contextualize it to what you are doing. And we walk a journey with them around that as well. I just want to throw in here as well that the Department of Agriculture is actually also so very helpful. Like, we work very closely with them, and they are really pushing the small-scale farmer agenda. And so if small-scale farmers can reach out, and a lot of the times it's because they don't know. Most of the challenges that are out there is for a lack of knowledge. And so we need to create that awareness that these are the doors that you can go and knock on, and there are people who want to help you. So we can facilitate that as well.
I'm wondering how fair trade, as in fair trade certification, changes the game if you eventually subscribe or get the certification. Are there examples that pop to mind, if it's African examples, South African examples, of farmers who've successfully gained their certification? And then what kind of transformations have you seen in their operations?
Oh, my word. That question excites me. We have so many producers who are certified where I look at them and I go, oh my word. So I just wanted to say, fair trade certification does not guarantee that people are going to follow the fair trade standards. For me, certification is amazing, but you as a producer need to own it. And so we've seen farms where transformation has happened amazingly because producers themselves own the values of fair trade sustainability and fair treatment of workers and fair wages, etc. So the one thing about fair trade, I'm not sure if you know, is the premium that sets fair trade apart from other certification bodies. So we have a premium that is over and above the product that is sold. That premium goes directly to the workers. So the workers have to register a legal body. That's a requirement. Then they have to open a bank account in the name of that legal body. So the monies goes to that bank account that they themselves manage. They have one management that is also a signatory, so that because, you know, coaching still needs to happen because we are dealing with workers who are used to getting a salary of 3-2 a month, and now suddenly they are getting hundreds of thousands of euros coming to their account. And so they get coached. We also work with banks, FNB specifically, who has been a partner in coming to give training on financial management, etc. And so what happens is that money, they then have to democratically elect a group of workers who manages that money and represents the workers as a whole. Then they democratically, as workers, they have their AGM every year, they have to identify projects that that money pays for. And they have to draw up project plans for it. It gets sent to be signed off and authorized, etc. So it's a whole process. They're literally running a business. And so we've got projects where they have a clinic now, which they never had before. We did a story on the one lady on the Toys Club who was saying now she can focus on getting her work done or paying attention to a child. Before, she had to go far from where the farm is and spend a day at the clinic, and then lose the day's money, or if she didn't have sick leave left or whatever, you know, and those kind of things. Now the clinic is right there on the farm. She literally pops in, gets done what needs to be done, and she can return to work. That's the one thing. Another thing is mobile libraries. We know that in the farming communities, they don't necessarily have access. We now have mobile libraries that come to the farm. They can take out books. They sit there. They work on computers. The computers are also used for adult education, so it doesn't just limit it to the little children. The one farm, they use their premium. They literally save their premium up, and then the workers bought a farm, a wine farm. And the farm that they are from is coaching them and helping them. And so they are busy growing their own vineyards. They are making their own wines. So this is some of the changes that's happening. We've got university graduates that the premium paid for. There's so many good stories out there of the benefits of fair trade certification and transformation that's happened. One family that I spoke to, I just asked them, because they were saying that their son is at university, he now has 2 degrees. And so they were telling it like it was no biggie, you know. So I said, and how does that make you feel? And she just burst into tears. She was like, this is first generation. Not only did he finish high school, he's got 2 degrees, which is unheard of. Fair trade premium makes that possible. Fair trade certification, sustainability makes that possible. And so there is value in that.
It's incredibly inspiring to hear. It feels like Ubuntu in action.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're experiencing it. So given the growing focus on sustainability, ethical farming in South Africa, how do you see certification by fair trade changing the face of agriculture in South Africa?
Like, we have a problem with water in South Africa. We are seeing the climate is literally changing in front of our eyes, and we have standards that insist and that you get audited against that make sure that you take care of the environment. Don't use poisonous sprays, water use, all of those things. And so for me, that is the one thing already that one can look into. But also, our history in agriculture in South Africa sucks. It is bad. We come from a history of the dope system where people were paid with wine. And one of the fair trade standards is minimum wage. And we are now working on living wage, right? Living income. And they get audited against that by Flowcert. And again, we do not guarantee that it doesn't happen, but we are saying if it happens, alert us, let us know so that we can then take steps, right, to intervene. But I think fair trade certification is the future. I wish that more producers would come into the system so that we can all benefit and all work together. I've heard of people saying, man, I wish I was on a fair trade farm, because they can see how their counterparts are benefiting, the workers specifically are benefiting. It doesn't take away from you, even though the initial entry into certification is costly, people say, but I think it's about 1% or something. Although people say that it is costly, the payback is overwhelming. You have happier workers. You know, you've got people who come to do things because they want to. They give you extra time because they know that you are giving back to them. And then for small-scale producers as well, for them to be coming into the system, it's literally just getting them to the next step, because the most horrible thing is you are doing so good as a small-scale farmer, but you don't know how to level up. We are there to then assist and help you to get to that next level in your business as well.
Thank you so much, Sandra Ndlovu, Regional Communication Officer for Southern Africa at Fair Trade Africa. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodfromzanzi.co.za. And that's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. From me, Duncan Masiwa, Ivor Price, and our technical producer, Megan Vandervind, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, thanks for listening.